James, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Road accident involving deer pretty much every other night where you live. Where is that?
Well, there was, it was a friend of mine that lived up in Monaghan, the Monaghan-Cavan border. I mean, there was cars being wrecked on a regular basis with deer running across the road. And there was no control over them. And the thing about it is there was no local cull organised by the forestry or whatever. And so it was up to local farmers to organise their own culls, basically. Mm-hmm.
And it's not pretty when you hit a deer because you can end up taking the legs out from underneath them and they come in the windscreen on top of you.
Exactly, that's what happens. And I mean, quite a lot of injuries and quite a lot of damage done to people as well, you know. And also damage for people who are sort of dairy farming, they're strip farming, strip grazing with electric fences. Deer come out at night and they just run across the whole landscape, take all the electric fences out of it in one go. Mm-hmm. So cleaning up the next day was not an easy job, you know.
Anyway, you rang in because you wanted to take issue with something that you heard yesterday about the fellows who are out poaching at night, and that these might be fellows who have licenses to shoot, but only during daylight hours. But what they do is they go out, they lamp, they shoot, they take the deer down at night when it's easier to do it, and then come back in the daytime when it's legal to be seen out collecting deer carcasses.
Absolute rubbish.
Really?
Rubbish, because the deer is a ruminant. Anyone that knows anything about deer means they're a grass eater, and the stomach fills up with gas if you leave them for more than a couple of hours, and the deer, the meat becomes contaminated and inedible. They also have to be bled once they're shot. You have to take the blood out of them, if not, the meat is inedible as well. So, I mean, that's...
But that happens, on site straight away, doesn't it? That
you bleed, straight away, yeah.
You bleed out the animal. Why could you not do that and come back and collect the carcass later on?
Well, you probably could if you wanted to. If you're on the job there, you're going to clean them out, and you're going to be on site for at least 15 minutes. I mean, what's the point in running away then? I mean, I can't understand the logic in anyone shooting and leaving the deer overnight. There's also things like foxes and things like that will come and eat the carcass. Uh-huh. I mean, if you leave them lying there, I mean, they will definitely be interfered with.
Damien Hannigan, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Philip. Thank you for having me on.
How much money can be made by somebody out poaching deer?
It varies, Philip, I suppose, the type of poachers. And I should say, by the way, our organisation, the Wild Deer Association of Ireland, we're a national representative body for those involved in deer management and people with an interest in what are wild deer. But a large part of our work is involved in the collecting of reports in terms of wildlife crime, such as deer poaching, and working with on Garda Síochána and other state agencies in bringing successful prosecutions. But to answer your question is...
So how much of your work surrounds poaching then?
I suppose on average we would receive about 1,200 queries each year. Roughly about 600 of those queries would be related to poaching.
Half your work, okay.
A lot of work involved. And very much so in recent years we've seen a dramatic increase in the number of alleged incidents of deer poaching. But thankfully we've also seen a significant increase in the number of detections and successful prosecutions.
How, though, is it getting into the food chain? Nobody's answering this question for me satisfactorily. Everybody just gives a kind of a asher, you know, there are ways. Surely the food chain is so highly regulated now that it is impossible for an unlicensed shooter operating out of the back of a truck, Maria, to get a deer into the food chain.
You would imagine so, Philip. Common sense would suggest that. The reality, unfortunately, is that, and there have been a number of prosecutions, just taking Philip's point there, where, for example, we in December of last year, a successful prosecution where the National Parks and Wildlife Service rangers observed the deer being shot at night with the use of a lamp illegally. And then the following day, after staking out the area with a carcass, at that stage, the carcass is what they call grolloped, or the evisceration takes place. And carcass is left overnight in the countryside. So the issue that Philip raised...
But James was saying there that the body, the meat, is going to fill up with toxins if you do that.
If the evisceration hasn't taken place, if the innards are not removed from the animal, that will happen. So generally the animals, as I said, they're killed either with the use of a high-powered firearm or increasingly with the use of dogs. The animal is bled and the innards are removed and it's left in the countryside overnight.
What happened then in this case? How were they going to get it from A to B, literally from field or hillside onto somebody's fork?
So in this case, effectively what happens is that they will as was pointed out in yesterday's comments, is that the animals are collected when it looks less suspicious. Effectively, then, what it is that they're brought to, maybe unknowingly, to a game dealer or a game buyer or other outlets. And the carcasses are effectively sold to that.
So the fellows who are doing this are licensed to do it, and every single thing that they are doing is by the book, except the time of day, basically time of night, that they're doing it at.
Our experience would be that your poachers kind of come in different categories. You will have a minimum number of poachers are licensed, as you identified, but the majority of poachers would actually either not have a deer hunting license, or even in some situations that we've seen, they've actually had no firearms license, where they'll use somebody else's firearm. But generally, you know, and the comparisons have already been made in previous comments, is that poachers is a criminal activity. It's something that the licensed deer stalkers detest. But effectively what you have, the legislation as it is in Ireland in terms of selling of wild game, requires the individual, when they sell the carcass, to provide documentation and provide evidence of training that they've been inspected.
So people can remain or rest assured that even if there is poaching going on, the TB is being kept out of the food chain because the carcass would still be inspected.
Yeah, it's
or would it? You don't sound too sure.
I highly unlikely, I'd imagine, because a lot of this activity is obviously happening under the dark of night, and you have animals being culled or shot, killed illegally, in unsafe, unhygienic conditions. As Philip mentioned, if a carcass is left out overnight in the countryside, you're going to have vermin feeding on that carcass. It's naturally going to happen.
Mm.
And obviously that carcass then is collected the following day, is sold into the food chain. The legislation as it is, as I mentioned, in terms of the requirements, is that there's not a requirement to prove any form of identification. So if I am selling a carcass, the game buyer doesn't necessarily know that I'm that individual that's showing the license right now. There's no requirement of proof of ID.
And Damien, how often are the lampers getting it wrong? You heard that horrible story at the end of the programme yesterday about the horse that ended up with a bullet inside its head when it was mistaken for a deer. Is there much in the way of livestock being accidentally killed?
It's very common. We would regularly, in all areas of the country, it's regularly when you speak to people in knackeries or approved processing facilities for dead animals, it's a common feature that you find is that livestock are either shot accidentally or seriously injured. It's a common feature. As was pointed out yesterday, generally what happens is that you have a situation where just the eyes of the animal are seen, so they're not necessarily sure what animal they're shooting. They don't know what's in the background. But increasingly, you have the use of dogs where again, the deer is illegally dazzled with a powerful light at night, chased down by dogs. Generally, it's held on the ground by a large dog, and very crudely, the animal then is either bludgeoned to death or has its throat cut.
And is that as a sport, or because these people can't get a gun license?
It's generally I wouldn't call it a sport. Maybe in their own eyes, they see it. Obviously, it's a crime.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you heard earlier, but I was recounting experience of meeting somebody of all places in A&E in a hospital who mentioned in passing that he did this, and he did this as a sport, and his descriptions were really very, very passionate about watching dogs do what he felt that dogs were bred to do. I'd say it was kind of horrifying, to be perfectly honest with you. And you say illegal, but how widespread?
It's very widespread. Just a quick search of social media, for example, you will see a lot of these operating groups and so on. What we would often observe is that groups of people with these type of dogs, generally a lurcher type breed, a large breed of dog, will come into an area in a particular night and they will try and kill as many deer as they possibly can in that area. It's effectively, you know, they may call it a sport, it's a crime, effectively, at the end of the day. And it's the most horrific crime as well, because you know, to pin a wild animal to the ground with a dog and bludgeon it to death or cut its throat is the most horrific, wildest crime that you could see.
Indeed, as you're talking about a stag that at the right time or a certain time of year is going to have antlers, dangerous kind of endeavour as well.
They generally would, I suppose, these groups generally would operate in certain areas where they would generally operate when most of us are tucked up in our beds at night, late at night. They generally like flat ground. they'll go after a particular species of deer, generally or fallow deer or sika deer, or a smaller species of deer. It would be unlikely, for example, a red stag, which is quite a large animal, could be taken in that manner. Even at this time of the year, when fawns and calves have been born, it's a very common time of the year where these groups will go into the countryside, and they obviously the fawns and calves are easy targets for the dogs that they'll train the dogs
on. Of course, they're picking the targets. All right, Damien, thank you very much, and James, thank you very much as well.